What happens with pregnancy in the time of COVID? Well, we're talking this hour to a number of people, including an expectant mother who sat in her unborn son's nursery thinking about his upcoming birth date. Kathy Kingsley is 35 weeks pregnant, and in an op-ed for City newspaper last week, she wrote, quote, "I have a bad case of the what-ifs, and they're not the typical what-ifs of first-time mothers. These aren't typical times. They're what if one of us tests positive for COVID-19? And what if our baby tests positive? And what if my parents won't be able to visit their first grandchild? Like so many things with this virus, we just don't know, and I'm scared," end quote. Kingsley's fears are echoed by many expectant mothers who are navigating pregnancy during this pandemic, many exploring the option of home birth in an effort to avoid the hospital setting. Others who plan to deliver in hospitals have questions about safety and precautions for themselves and for their babies. This hour, a conversation with guests to address those concerns, OBGYNs and also expectant mothers. Kathy Kingsley is one of them. She wrote the piece for City that inspired this conversation, and she's on the line with us now. She's my old colleague from 13, and I just want to say you did a great service for the community, and it's great to have you. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Quick question. I'm 36 weeks now, but
yes,
I'm hanging in there.
36. What's your due? I know due dates are sort of moving targets. Do you have a due date?
The due date is April 28th. So pretty much any time now he could go, because, as you said, babies are kind of unpredictable.
They certainly are. Well, great to have you, Kathy. Thank you. Also, welcome to Lucia Petito, who's an expected mother. Lucia, welcome. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Good. And do they have a due date for you?
They do. I am due on July 25th, so I still have about half of my pregnancy left.
All right. Welcome as well to Dr. Daniel Grace, who is Division Chief of Maternal and Fetal Medicine and Associate Chair of Obstetrics at Rochester Regional Health. Dr. Grace, welcome. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm happy to be here.
And Dr. Courtney Olson-Chen is Assistant Professor of OBGYN at UR Medicine. Dr. Olson-Chen, welcome. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Kathy and Lucia to kind of outline where they are in their pregnancies and when it comes to what's going through their minds right now. And then we're going to have the doctors respond. And I'll start with you, Kathy. So when it comes to all of the questions you have, what stands out to you right now?
I think the biggest question for me is, where are we going to be in the next 4 weeks? And that's a question that's really kind of hard for anybody to answer, I think. You know, will there be a hospital bed for me? What are the changes going to be at the hospital in terms of who's allowed to be in the hospital with me? And I know things are changing rapidly, so it's kind of hard to predict that moving target. Those are the things I'm most concerned about, and how that'll impact both my health and the health of my unborn son.
Do you have a pretty good sense of communication from the medical professionals you've been working with?
Absolutely. I've had a lot of really good conversations with both my doctor and friends who work in the hospital. We'll be delivering it strong. So I've had a lot of good conversations, and people have been incredibly open with us in terms of what to expect, but also trying to temper expectations because, like I said, things are changing day by day.
Kathy, when you write a piece for City, you're exploring your own perspective and what you're going through, but you know you're going to hear from people who have different kinds of questions. And one of those questions we've heard for several days now getting ready for this conversation is the idea of maybe even people are trying to think about the home birth option. How much have you heard that?
I've heard that quite a bit, and it's something that we've considered. I know it's an option that some people works for some people. It's something that we've thought about a lot, but we still, at least at this point, would prefer to be in a hospital, even given all the craziness that's happening at this point, just to make sure that we have the medical professionals there just in case something goes wrong, because
sure,
we're not medical professionals and we don't know what we're doing.
No, I hear you. And I know you and I share an affection for the medical community, especially during these times, being able to do what they do despite all that pressure. Let me ask Lucia Petito, what's going through your mind as an expectant mother right now?
Well, so I'm at a different point in my care. So I am concerned about the schedule on which I will expect to actually be seen by my obstetrician, as opposed to having phone calls with her. I have a lot of concern about actually physically going to the doctor's office myself, just because I know that waiting rooms can be places where germs are spread more easily. I have, you know, I've been isolating myself at home for a couple of weeks now, and since I'm not due for another 4 months, I'm basically planning to continue to do that until I deliver. And yeah, I mean, I worry about what the state of the hospitals will be in 4 months, but I think that I am still definitely planning on having a hospital birth.
Lucia, have you felt like you can get enough communication and the kinds of answers you're looking for, at least at this point in your pregnancy?
Yeah, I think so. My OB has been really great, and the whole practice. But, you know, there are certain kinds of tests that you expect to have. For example, I have to go to the office to have a gestational diabetes screening at some point in the next 4 weeks. And they usually like to kind of up the routine visits in the third trimester to make sure that the baby's growing properly. And I guess I'm concerned about whether or not those visits will actually be able to happen, if that's the safest thing to have happen, or if I should switch to maybe a less frequent visit schedule.
All right, let me get Dr. Grace and Dr. Olson-Chen. Dr. Grace, you heard a lot there. I'll let you sort of broadly address what you heard from Kathy and Lucia while also offering your thoughts in general for expectant mothers right now.
Yeah, so there's a lot to cover there. You know, the first question is, where are we going to be in 4 weeks? And I certainly won't claim to be a prognosticator as to exactly where we'll be with the whole as a general public for coronavirus. But certainly I do think it is reasonable to expect that things will get worse before they get better. But what I can reassure both of them and all of our community, that there will be an obstetric bed, there will be labor and delivery beds for them, and that labor and delivery is very much a priority throughout our community. And I certainly don't want to speak for Dr. Chen, but I am confident both at Rochester Regional Health and University of Rochester Medical Center and all of their affiliates that there really is the priority to maintain obstetric beds and to really, as much as possible, have them be separate from what is going on in the rest of the hospital. So they can rest assured there will be a bed for them, and that we are taking every precaution to make sure that those labor and delivery beds are, you know, as separate as possible from what is going on in the rest of the hospital, and every precaution for our staff and for them to limit any potential exposure for coronavirus. In regard to, you know, scheduling of prenatal visits, indeed, everyone across the country is working on trying to limit how often people need to basically come out of social distancing. And so we want people to be at home. We want people to be performing good hand hygiene. We want everyone, regardless of whether they're pregnant or not, doing those things. And so coming to, you know, any appointment or leaving your house for any reason, you know, leaves open the possibility of, you know, having difficulty maintaining social distancing. So we're doing everything we can to limit how often people are coming in, yet still maintaining the care that they need during their pregnancy. So across the country, everyone is leveraging telemedicine, telephone visits, largely now converting to telemedicine visits where we can, you know, with either through the electronic medical record directly or through FaceTime or Skype, directly converse with patients and get the information we need and that they need to keep their pregnancy safe. And really, at any visit where they are physically coming in, that as much as possible is done during that visit so that they only have one visit that accomplishes as much as possible. So pregnant women can expect that, for example, if they have a planned ultrasound, that at that ultrasound,
that same visit would also have blood pressure assessments, weight assessments, laboratory assessments, and ideally a full prenatal visit, so that they are really just coming in as infrequently as possible. Every institution across our community is also instituting social distancing within their waiting room, and minimizing how long people are in the waiting room and minimizing how many people are in the waiting room so that people can maintain social distancing. So, yes, pregnant women can expect that their prenatal physical visits will be altered, but that they will still receive the care that they need during their pregnancy, but it will be modified with much more use of telemedicine and telehealth,
sure.
For sure.
Sure. Dr. Olson Chen, go ahead.
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of the things that Dr. Grace mentioned. We do have a schedule that we're using as an outline for how to organize prenatal visits now, and again, really trying to focus on bringing people in when they need to come in, doing as much as possible, and centering it on weeks where there's more important things to do in the pregnancy, like I think Kathy mentioned, or Lucia maybe mentioned, the diabetes screening test. I will say that when patients come in, we're doing everything possible to keep them safe, with social distancing in the waiting room, with masking of the staff, and screening everyone who comes into the clinic to make sure that we're not exposing patients if to the virus.
Okay. So before I kick it back to Kathy and Lucia, really to kind of tell us more about what they need or they feel like they need from the medical community or direct questions they may have for the doctors who are on the line with us, one other question that comes in via email comes from an organization called the Citizens for Midwifery, and they put out this statement, quote, "Parents who will give birth during the coronavirus pandemic are facing the heartbreaking possibility of being separated from their newborns for up to 2 weeks. The CDC guideline for pregnant patients who are confirmed or suspected of having COVID-19 recommends the separation of birthing parents and their healthy babies after birth. Know that the same guidelines say the birthing patient has a choice. However, care providers or facilities may not present this as an option," end quote. Dr. Olson Chen, you want to respond to that first?
Sure. Yes, so the CDC is recommending separation of the mom and baby if the mom is COVID positive at birth, which is very challenging. But we do have a number of options for women, and we will go through the counseling with the pediatricians about how to manage that. If a mom decides that she doesn't want to isolate from her infant, that is an option, and it's something that we can help with. There are recommendations for how far the baby should remain from mom in terms of spacing. It is still possible to breastfeed with the appropriate hygiene. And so I don't think that women should be concerned about being forced into separation from their infant if that's not something they wish to do.
Okay. So a lot of questions in a lot of different ways here. I'm going to let Kathy and Lucia kind of guide us here. I've got a lot of notes. We're going to squeeze in as much as we can. Kathy, what stands out when it comes to the actual process itself, whether it's visitation, other questions that you have that are still unanswered here?
I think the biggest thing for me right now is the process of birth. I mean, we've taken birthing classes and, you know, prepare ourselves as much as possible, but obviously these are not typical times. So a lot of that stuff seems to go out the window. So some of my concerns relate to, at least in my pregnancy, at last check, our son was still breech. So whether or not I'll be able to have a normal birth or if I'll have to have a C-section and what that entails, and if, you know, surgeons will be available, if anesthesiologists will be available. I know they've said, and my doctor has echoed this as well, that, obstetrics is one area where they're really doing everything they can to make sure it's safe and separated, and that those doctors are still, and nurses and everybody else are still working as hard as they can to keep everybody safe. But it's that nagging feeling in the back of your head of what if.
Okay. Dr. Grace, you want to address that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start by saying, you know, how you deliver is still going to be dictated by your medical conditions, not the coronavirus. So coronavirus, COVID-19, should not alter how you deliver. So if you end up requiring a cesarean delivery, it would be for some other reason. But we are not altering how people deliver based upon the presence of coronavirus. And certainly in regard to availability of, you know, an obstetrician or an anesthesiologist, you are indeed right. Obstetrics is very much deemed to be a priority. And we are actually taking the precautions to ensure that that's the case. So throughout the country, obstetric units are cohorting how physicians are covering labor and delivery so that we minimize the chance of having an insufficient number of obstetricians. So the work schedule that obstetricians are following now is very different from most places across the country than it traditionally is, and that is all with the goal of ensuring that there won't be any issues with lack of labor force for us covering deliveries. So we are confident that we have made the preparations both with personal protective equipment and how we're scheduling our anesthesiologists and physicians, that there will not be an issue in that regard.
Yeah, as I turn to Lucia, let me just stress that point again, because we've heard from multiple listeners questions about the staff. Will labor, delivery nurses, will they be pulled away? The answer is they expect the staff to be there when you need them. And they understand people are giving birth every day, and the staffs are doing remarkable work. Lucia, what else is on your mind that you'd like to get answered?
Well, one of the things that has been coming up in a lot of my conversations with my family is when they'll get to meet the baby. So I am a first-time mom, and it's the first grandchild on both sides. And so our parents live, you know, a drive away. And obviously they're isolating themselves, but I guess if you could speak to what you would view as safe practices for introducing an infant to their grandparents.
All right, I'll start with Dr. Olson-Chen with that question, and I'll mention that, you know, different facilities may have different rules, but generally with visitation, the recommendations we are starting to see more consistently is only one support person allowed during outpatient visits or hospital admission for labor and postpartum, and they may not come and go. But what about other introductions, as Lucia says there, Dr. Olson-Chen?
That's a really good question. You're right about the current visitor rules. I think it's something to talk with your pediatrician about, and it may depend on the health of your baby and the health of the grandparents. As we know, the older population is likely at higher risk if they have the coronavirus, and we think that it's possible that very young infants could also have more struggles if they become infected. So I think, unfortunately, at this point, we don't have enough information to know if it's safe to really go against the current social distancing recommendations, even in this case. And so what we're trying to do, especially while patients are in the hospital, is make the most of FaceTime and other ways of connecting with your family and introducing your family to the baby. But I think it's something, as we find out more about the virus, that you should be in contact with your pediatrician about.
We got a lot of questions online, and we'll try to do these fast here. Dr. Grace, people want to know if expectant moms can pass the virus to unborn babies.
So the data we have so far is very limited, but thus far there is not evidence of what we'd call vertical transmission from mom to baby in the uterus. So thus far, it does not appear to be the case, though still waiting for more data.
Okay, how about through breast milk?
Does not appear to be the case thus far, still waiting for more data, but doesn't appear to be the case.
Big ones. Okay, Richard wants to send an email saying, from Mulberry Street, thanks to Dr. Olson-Chen, the local hero. I think we're all thinking about doctors and medical staff as local heroes now. So there's a shout out from Richard. And George, if you can do it fast, we got to work in a quick question. Go ahead, George.
I chose home birth for our grandchildren, our children in the 1980s, because the statistics were better for risk. But you need to talk to your midwife early. because she monitors the pregnancy and gives nutritional and other advice and exercises and all that kind of good stuff.
All right. Thanks very much, George. Dr. Olson-Chen, should we see more home births this year because of this pandemic?
It certainly seems like people are considering home births more, and it may be related to the current pandemic. I would say for any woman who is considering something like a home birth, making sure that you're in touch with your provider who's been caring for you throughout the pregnancy and that you have a conversation about the risk and benefits of that kind of delivery. You know, there may be risk with coming into the community with coronavirus, but we know that there are also risks for birth complications with home births. And we know that for moms who have never had a baby before, that up to 30% of them may need transfer to a hospital during their attempted home birth. And so just considering that it's still possible that you would need to come to a hospital.
Gotcha. And 30 seconds, Dr. Grace, what about off-site birthing centers? We see groups in the community pushing for that. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I guess it doesn't really alleviate the issue, right? And that is that the concern is being, you know, having to eliminate social distancing from other people. And regardless of, you know, whether you come to the hospital or go to an off-site birthing center, you're still going to be in a location where there are other people. So I fear that that does not actually solve the concern.
Okay. Lucia, 30 seconds. How would you describe your emotions as you think about July and you think about becoming a mother?
Well, I am very excited to become a mother, but it's, of course, tinged with a lot of anxiety surrounding the current world circumstances. And I just hope that things have calmed down a little bit by the end of July.
Kathy, how do you feel?
I would echo Lucia's sentiments. Very excited, but also very anxious. But I am encouraged by seeing a lot of people, at least in my social circles, social distancing themselves and really taking the right precautions. So I'm hoping to see more of that.
Kathy, you wrote a great piece for City Newspaper, and I hope our listeners are still reading City News online. They're doing great work, and I thought it was timely. There's so many people thinking about this. Good luck to you, and I say good luck, but you're also going to be in great hands no matter where you are. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kathy Kingsley and Lucia Petito, good luck to you as well. Again, I know in some way, somehow, we're all going to get through this year, and your baby's going to be great, but thank you, Lucia. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Doctors Grace and Olson-Chen, thanks for the expertise. So many questions from the community, and I know it's a very busy time. Thanks for making time for the program today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, short break. We've got more connections at the top of the hour.